Good morning. I greet you this morning in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. It is a blessing to have the opportunity to worship with you in prayer, praise, and worship service on this morning. I pray that you've had a good night and that you're looking forward to a wonderful day today. And it is my prayer that indeed you will have a very, very good day, even a wonderful day today. I am Pastor Clarence William Page of Trinity Baptist Church and the Light to Guide Our Feet Ministry. I call your attention to Romans chapter 10. Romans chapter 10 in the New Testament. In Romans chapter 10, the reading begins at verse 1. Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. For I bear them record that they have a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge. For they, being ignorant of God's righteousness, and going about to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to every one that believeth. For Moses describeth the righteousness which is of the law, that the man which doeth those things shall live by them. But the righteousness which is of faith speaketh on this wise, say not in thine heart, who shall ascend into heaven, that is, to bring Christ down from above, or who shall descend into the deep, that is, to bring up Christ again from the dead. But what saith it? The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart, that is, the word of faith which we preach. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. For there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek. For the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. but they have not all obeyed the gospel. For Esaias saith, Lord, who hath believed our report? So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. But I say, have they not heard? Yes, verily, their sound went into all the earth, and their words unto the ends of the world. But I say, did not Israel know? First Moses saith, I will provoke you to jealousy by them that are no people, and by a foolish nation I will anger you. But Esaias is very bold and saith, I was found of them that sought me not. I was made manifest unto them that asked not after me. But to Israel he saith, all the day long I have stretched forth my hands unto a disobedient and gainsaying people. Romans chapter 10, verses 1 through 21. Romans chapter 10, verses 1 through 21. Let us pray. Our Father and our God in heaven, thou who art the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Israel, thou who raised Jesus Christ from the dead. Father God, thank you for this opportunity to pray. Thank you for life, health, and strength. Thank you for every listening ear that is listening right now to this worship, praise, and prayer service. Father God, in Jesus' name, cause this event, this prayer, praise, and worship service to be a blessing to each hearer. Touch each heart with your mercy, your grace, your love. Help each one to be receptive to your glory and to their good. Help me now in presenting thy word to them. In Jesus' name I pray. Thank you, Father God. Amen. My friends, let's commune together for a few minutes from the topic, the efficacy of the Word of God. The efficacy of the Word of God. God's Word is efficacious. God's Word is reliable. God's Word is fully able to do exactly what it says it will do. God's Word is true. God's Word is truth. God's Word cannot fail. And thus, we have no excuse for not knowing God, because we come to know Him through His Word, through His Son, through what He has said, what He has promised, through what He has commanded in His Word. The Bible says in Matthew chapter 4, verse 4, the Bible says, But he answered and said, It is written, Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Matthew chapter 4, verse 4. Let me read that again for you. But he answered and said, It is written, Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. That is how we come to know God. That is how we satisfy God. That is how we get to heaven. We get saved through the Word of God. And the Word of God is fully capable of saving us. We see in many places in the Holy Bible the assurance that the Word of God is enough for us to do everything that God wants us to do. Jesus was known and is known as the Word, and he proclaimed and spoke with power. We read in Luke chapter 4, verse 32, "And they were astonished at his doctrine, for his word was with power." He himself is the Word and was the Word, and yet he spoke to them with power. God's word, and that is, it is referring to Jesus Christ, he spoke to them with power. In the Gospel according to John, chapter 17, we read the following: "Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth." These are the words of Jesus Christ in his prayer to his Father. And he asked his Father to sanctify his people, his disciples, his people. John 17, 17, John chapter 17, verse 17. "Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth." God's word is absolute truth. God's word is totally reliable. And that's how we get saved, by believing the Word of God. And I'm wondering, are you saved? Are you saved? Are you saved? Psalm 117 says in its two verses, it has two verses, Psalm 117, verse 1 says, "Oh, praise the Lord, all ye nations, praise him, all ye people, for his merciful kindness is great toward us, and the truth of the Lord endureth forever. Praise ye the Lord." The Lord's truth never fails. The Lord's truth endureth forever. Let me read that for you once again. Psalm 117, verse 1 says, "O praise the Lord, all ye nations. Praise him, all ye people. For his merciful kindness is great toward us, and the truth of the Lord endureth forever. Praise ye the Lord." So his truth, which is his word is truth. We read that just a few moments ago, you and I, in John chapter 17, verse 17. John chapter 17, verse 17. We read that his truth endureth forever. If we go to Psalm 100 in the Holy Bible, and in Psalm 100, if we travel to verse 5, we read the following: "For the Lord is good, his mercy is everlasting, and his truth endureth to all generations. For the Lord is good, his mercy is everlasting, and his truth endureth to all generations. What of God's word concerning you? What I'm asking is, how do you see God's word? Have you ever taken time to consider whether or not you actually believe the word of God? If you're not saved, you need to take time and question yourself and ask yourself, do I believe the word of God? My declaration is that you are commanded to believe the word of God, that you are commanded to repent of your sins, and I'm declaring that from Holy Scripture, and I can prove that that is in Holy Scripture. But have you ever yourself faced yourself and truthfully asked yourself whether or not you believe the word of God? Have you ever said to yourself, do I believe the word of God? Because many people who are not saved or not saved because they do not believe the word of God, and many who do not believe the word of God don't realize that they are not saved because of that unbelief. Have you asked yourself that question? Maybe you should ask it right now. Do I believe the word of God? And maybe you should answer it right now. You should answer yourself right now. Do I believe the word of God? And there are some of you who don't believe God, who would say that you don't know whether or not God is alive or whether he exists. And so if you do not know whether he exists or not, that means you don't believe the word of God, because he assures you in his word that he is God, that he is everlasting, that he is eternal. That's what his word assures us. And so if you are halting between two opinions and saying, well, I don't know whether there's a God or not, that means that you don't have faith in the word of God, that you don't really believe his word when he says he is God, when he says I am God and there is none other. You don't believe that. In the book of Isaiah, God clearly shows that he is God. He is God. And he says that there is no God but him. He says, look unto me and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth, for I am God and there is none else. You will find that, my friend, in Isaiah chapter 45. Isaiah, I-S-A-I-A-H, Isaiah chapter 45. Verse 22. In Isaiah chapter 45, verse 22, God says, look unto me and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth, for I am God, and there is none else. That's the word of God, my friend. It is the word of God for you today. Do you believe him? Are you willing to believe him? Are you willing to call upon him? He commands that. He commands you to call upon him. He commands you to repent of your sins. Not just you, he commands all people to repent of their sins and to accept his word, accept him in your heart. Are you willing to do that? Are you willing to believe the Lord today? I call your attention once again to Isaiah chapter 45, Verse 22, look unto me and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth, for I am God, and there is none else. Isaiah chapter 45, verse 22. In the book of John in the New Testament, in John chapter 3, we read the following. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus saith unto him, How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I said unto thee, Ye must be born again. The wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh and whither it goeth. So is every one that is born of the Spirit. Nicodemus answered and said unto him, How can these things be? Jesus answered and said unto him, Art thou a master of Israel, and knowest not these things? Verily, verily, I say unto thee, we speak that we do know, and testify that we have seen, and ye receive not our witness. If I have told you earthly things, and ye believe not, how shall ye believe if I tell you of heavenly things? And no man hath ascended up to heaven, but he that came down from heaven, even the Son of Man which is in heaven. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest, that they are wrought in God. John chapter 3, verses 1 through 21. John chapter 3, verses 1 through 21. Let me read a portion of that once again for you, beginning reading at verse number 14. Beginning reading at verse number 14. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men loved darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. Let me read verse 20 again. For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest, that they are wrought in God. Thus I've read again in your hearing, John, the Gospel according to John, chapter 3, verses 14 through 21. My friend, the Word of God assures us that if one believes in God, one will be saved. And God's Word indeed endures forever. God's Word indeed is truth. God's Word has its own power. God's Word is totally efficacious. It is totally believable. It is totally able and will do exactly what God says it will do. And in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 25, Peter says, "But the word of the Lord endureth forever. And this is the word which by the gospel is preached unto you." And this is the word which is being preached unto you by the gospel, my friends. I am preaching the word of God. As was read earlier in Romans chapter 10, beginning reading at verse 8, "But what saith it?" This is Romans chapter 10, beginning reading at verse 8. "But what saith it? The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart. That is the word of faith which we preach, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed, for there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek, for the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Romans chapter 10, verses 8 through 13. Romans chapter 10, verses 8 through 13. If you are not saved, I must ask the question, why? Why are you not saved? This is why you need to have a conversation with yourself and ask yourself, self, why am I not saved? Self, why am I not saved? And then you need to admit that more than likely you do not trust the word of God. But I'm here to assure you beyond any shadow of doubt that the word of God is truth. The word of God is absolutely trustworthy. As I read to you in John, the Gospel according to John, chapter 17, verse 17, where Jesus the Christ, the Son of God, says, thy word is truth. The word of God is truth. The word of God is truth. And your job and my job, the job of all human beings, is to believe the word of God. We are commanded to believe the word of God. And when we believe the word of God, repent of our sins, open our hearts, and allow Jesus Christ to come in, that's how we become saved. The word of God is totally efficacious, totally reliable, totally dependable, totally truth. The word of God never failed. It never fails. It cannot fail. And so you are encouraged. You are invited, but you must do this yourself. I cannot save you. Only you can get saved or get yourself saved by taking faith in the word of God. The Bible says very clearly that a person cannot please God unless that person has faith. And if you're unwilling to believe God, how will you ever please God? And pleasing God is totally important, because God created you. He made you. He created man. He owns everything. He is the God. In the book of Hebrews, chapter 11, we read in verse 3, Hebrews chapter 11, through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God. Let me read that once again. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 3. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 3 reads as follows. Through faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 3. Let me read that for you once again. Through faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 3. In Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6, we read the following. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. That's Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6. Let me read that for you once again. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. So my friend, if you are to this moment unsaved, this is the moment that you should take faith in the word of God. Repent of your sins, believe the word of God, which clearly tells us that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. The Word of God clearly tells us that Jesus Christ died on the cross for our sins, and that by taking faith in him, we become saved. He died for our sins to pay the penalty for our sins. He rose for our justification. He rose so that when we stand before God, we will be blameless and without sin because Jesus rose. He rose from the dead, R-O-S-E, from the dead, to justify us. The Bible clearly says that he died for our sins and rose for our justification. How long are you going to wait, my friend? How long are you going to halt between two opinions? The opinion of, well, maybe God is and maybe God isn't. I don't know. I still am not sure. How long will you halt, H-A-L-T, between those two opinions? The word of God is totally efficacious. The word of God is totally true. Talking about Abraham in Romans chapter 4, in the book of Romans chapter 4, we read about Abraham, who, according to the Bible, let me read here in Romans chapter 4, beginning at verse 18, talking about Abraham, who against hope believed in hope that he might become the father of many nations, according to that which was spoken, so shall thy seed be. And being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body now dead when he was about 100 years old, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb. He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God, and being fully persuaded that what he had promised, he was able also to perform. And therefore it was imputed to him for righteousness. Now it was not written for his sake alone that it was imputed to him, but for us also, to whom it shall be imputed, if we believe on him that raised up Jesus our Lord from the dead, who was delivered for our offenses and was raised again for our justification. That is Romans chapter 4, verses 18 through 25. And this is so rich. Let me read it to your hearing, in your hearing once again, proving that the Word of God is totally reliable, totally dependable, totally efficacious. Beginning reading at Romans chapter 4, verse 18. Romans chapter 4, verse 18. Who against hope believed in hope, that he might become the father of many nations, according to that which was spoken, so shall thy seed be. And being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body now dead, when he was about 100 years old, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb. He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief. Reading once again, verse 20. Romans chapter 4, verse 20. He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God, and being fully persuaded that what he had promised, he was able also to perform, and therefore it was imputed to him for righteousness. Now it was not written for his sake alone that it was imputed to him, but for us also, to whom it shall be imputed, if we believe on him that raised Jesus Christ our Lord from the dead, who was delivered for our offenses and was raised again for our justification. Romans chapter 4, verses 18 through 25. My friend, are you willing and ready to take faith in the Word of God? God clearly tells us that when we believe in and on His Son, Jesus Christ, we become saved. We see that very clearly in the Gospel according to John chapter 3, which says in verse 15, John chapter 3, verse 15 says, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. That's John chapter 3, verses 15 and 16. Let me read verse 16 once again. John chapter 3, verse 16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. John chapter 3, verse 16. And in Romans chapter 10, verse 13, we read the following. Romans chapter 10, verse 13. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. That's Romans chapter 10, verse 13. Let me read it once again for you. Romans chapter 10, verse 13. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Romans chapter 10, verse 13. Let me read it for you once again. Romans chapter 10, verse 13. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Romans chapter 10, verse 13. Let us pray. Father God, your word has been shared with as many as have been willing to listen, and it has been made plain and clear that whosoever believeth in your Son Jesus Christ shall be saved. Help those, Lord, who are halting between two opinions, those whose eyes have been blinded by the adversary, those who are just procrastinators, and those who are just evil in heart. Oh God, I pray for them all, that they might be saved. Father God, help them, help them, help them to make up their minds while they still have time. Help her to make up her mind while she still has time. Help him to make up his mind while he still has time. In Jesus' name I pray. Thank you, Father. Amen. My friend, ask the Lord Jesus Christ to save you. Repent of your sins. Confess the things you've done. Believe the word of God, and you will be saved. This is Pastor Clarence William Page of Trinity Baptist Church and the Light to Guide Our Feet ministry. I want to encourage you, and I do encourage you, that once you know that you are saved, be sure to contact a Christian minister and our ministry. Request and receive Christian baptism. Christian baptism is very important. So once you know that the Lord has saved you, once you've believed and you know that the Lord has saved you, it is very important that you contact a Christian minister and a ministry and request and receive Christian baptism. The Lord will send people to help you. Let us look unto the Lord and be dismissed. And now unto him that is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy, to the only wise God, our Savior, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and ever. Amen.